All right, we're live. Look at that. I got back to my seat almost in time.
Good job.
Whew. So we're trying something new today. I'm going to get over here in a little bit. We're trying something new today as far as going live at a little different time. I'm trying to see if I get notification on here. I'm not getting notification, Facebook. Come on.
You got a message?
Well, usually it'll pop up here and say that we're live. And then allow me to log in. Well, let's see here. Let's see if I can find it. So, anyway, we're here today. I'm hoping that people can see us. That's the thing here.
I see us. So, there on the bottom.
Did you see us on the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Maybe we are live. Should be right here. Once this downloads. It's not. There it is. No, it's not. There it is. There it is. Yay, look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, look at that. We're there.
I'm going to see if I can hear us at all. Say something, Dana.
Hello, Kurt. Can you hear me?
All right, so we're going to speak up a little bit, just a little bit louder, just to make sure that the microphone can pick us up over there. So I'm Kurt Kazmierczak. This is Daniel Tim, and we're here today to talk about everything.
And anything.
That's right. That's right. So now, two things today. Number one, I want to talk about my areas of law a little bit, and then I want to introduce Daniel to you. Actually, we'll start off by introducing Daniel, and then I'll finish up talking about my stuff. So this is Daniel Tim. He is one of our newest attorneys here at CCSK Law. And he's doing some different stuff. What are you doing? You got some cool experience. Let's start with your experience. What have you been doing?
I was a financial advisor starting in 2008.
So you're a money guy.
I was.
Nice.
Northwestern Mutual, a very fine, stodgy old company that happens to be in our building. So I'll give them a little plug, not that there's not many other fine financial institutions out there.
Can we bill them for that?
Probably not. They're very stingy with their money. But if we could, we would. So I did that from, if anybody remembers, 2008, probably not the best time to get involved in financial advising.
Yeah, impeccable timing.
Yeah, so I did that from 2008 until 2011.
Cool.
In the interim, I went back to school to pursue my master's in business administration. Starting in about 2009, I wrapped that up in 2011. And then there was a little bit of overlap because I accepted a position with the Porter County Assessor as the Chief of Staff starting in early 2011.
So you're a government boy. You're working in the government.
I was a government boy.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was very different for me. I'd always been in the private sector.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I was a metallurgist before that.
Really?
Yeah, I worked in
I didn't know that. That's a new one.
I worked in a ductile iron foundry, so I've kind of been blue collar, white collar, government.
I used to do drywall.
Yeah, so I've worn many hats.
That's good.
And then I worked for the county from 2011 until 2014.
Nice.
At that time, I also went to law school. And then my friends and I started a communications company. I went to work for them initially as the chief operating officer.
Nice.
And then once I graduated law school and passed the bar, I became in-house counsel. Now, during law school, I did take a break from that company, and I worked briefly at Heppner, Wagner, and Evans, focusing primarily on real estate and business.
So it sounds like you've got some good connections as far as being involved with the county and real estate and assessing and that kind of thing. And
correct.
So you're one of the guys that really understands how the back office of the government works here.
I do, and you know, a lot of it is, there's a lot of red tape there sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, typically if you're persistent and patient and kind, honestly, when you're dealing with the government, you know, losing your temper just doesn't.
All right, we're trying again. It is not showing anything.
I think the camera flipped.
The camera got flipped. That's our kitchen.
Just turn the thing around.
There we go.
Sorry about that.
Well, if there's one thing we're famous for on our tips from the bar, it's that we love to have a good camera issue.
Yes.
For some reason, we've always had issues. I don't know if it's Facebook or equipment, but this is different equipment today. So sometimes it just cuts off. Sometimes it gets real choppy and kind of hard to see. So yeah. As we were talking about before we got cut off, you have some good experience in real estate. You have some good experience in the government and how real estate works. And there's a lot more, for people that don't know, there's a lot of difficulty points within real estate with the government, whether it's tax issues and tax sales and certificate sales and all this kind of, there's a lot of different things that go on. Tell me about kind of what you're thinking practice wise here and what kind of issues you can help out with.
Well, when I left, again, at Heppner, Wagner & Evans, which was really the start of my legal career, I focused primarily on real estate and business law, along with a little bit of, homeowners association things, real estate variances, these type of things. The day that I actually passed the bar exam, I unfortunately had to leave Heppner, Wagner & Evans, and I didn't have to, but I chose to,
right.
And went back to the company that my friends and I formed, where I did a lot of contract negotiation, employment law, pretty much anything that nobody else wanted to do. So, we have a lot of electrical engineers there and computer engineers, and we have one accountant, and then I did pretty much everything else.
Okay.
So, I was very blessed to work under an attorney that was formerly a partner in a
big
one
company.
Of the Chicago mega firms.
Nice.
That was making multiple millions of dollars a year when he was there, and I learned a lot about contracts and negotiation from him. And I have experience pretty much running the entire HR department, from drafting the manuals to handling the standard operating procedures. All of the safety manual stuff was up to me. The new hire, non-disclosure agreements, the employment contracts, I handled all of that work.
So it sounds like a lot of the fleshy part of business documents and stuff you can help with.
Correct, yeah.
And you've been there, you've done that, you know how to tailor that for a business.
Yeah, and I have a fair amount of international land negotiation experience, so if anybody in Valparaiso, Indiana needs that, I can certainly help out with that. But
it's you'd be surprised how much international business you can run into here in Valparaiso. We've come across several different opportunities that have needed attorneys, and we've been able to help out.
Sure.
Isaac does a lot of business work here, but the stuff that you do kind of complements that, because he's kind of a structure guy, and you're kind of a meat guy, and between
right.
the two of you, it's just amazing what we can now provide for business
owners.
Yeah,
Isaac and I work very well together, as do you and
yeah.
I.
It's
interesting that, estate work is something that I would never really want to tackle, and we have RG, which is a great resource for that.
Oh, yeah,
bankruptcy,
that's nice to be able to, like,
is something that I would never want to tackle, and we have you for that. So,
yeah. I'll go into more of that later.
What I really like about this firm is that, not only are we endeavoring to grow, but in our current iteration, we can pretty much handle any issue that any client could throw at us.
Not only
with our own knowledge, but with what's collectively known amongst the five of us that are
right.
here.
So, well, and I think that's the thing that, you got some people go out and they start their own law firm, and they do what's called a general practice, where they try to do everything.
Sure.
I'm going to do a little of this, I'm going to do a little of that, and over there, and over there, and they can't focus in on one area. But kind of the way we're set up is we have individuals that are focused on a specific area, but together we cover a lot of areas within the same roof here. So under this roof, we can handle a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in the real estate stuff. I've always been interested in real estate. My family had some rentals when I was younger. I've always looked at having rentals, but even that, I've had people that I've worked with that had corporate real estate, and I'm always fascinated with just the amount of legal issues that can come up with that. What kind of stuff do you anticipate being able to, if somebody's watching out thinking, man, I've got this business, what kind of issues do they come up with that you might be able to help them sort out a little bit faster?
Well, I think the most common issue would probably be, you're a small business owner, you're thinking about either purchasing or leasing a new building. Maybe you've been in business for 25 years and you've read 6 or 8 commercial leases, but maybe not.
Right.
So you really have to be careful and read what you sign, have somebody review it. Believe me, in the long term, to pay an attorney for a couple of hours is much cheaper than some of the long-term ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read a lease the other day where the gentleman didn't understand it, but when he signed the lease, essentially what it said was, if he became in default of the lease by not making his payments for only 1 month, the landlord could come on the property and seize any of his personal assets that were there and sell them at tax sale or at sheriff's sale.
Really?
So, yeah. And it's perfectly legal.
For one, I mean, they made the agreement
because
on
he's
it, right?
in default.
1 month of in default. So just missed the one payment and the guy can come in and...
Yeah.
Was there like a grace period or anything?
No. Well, I mean, there's the 15-day grace period or whatever it was. But if he was more than 1 month behind, he was technically in breach. And now, obviously, that would be litigation. But right. That's what the gentleman signed.
And they
got to
pay for the litigation no matter what they...
Yeah,
they
for sure.
Lose
so now all of a sudden, you know, you had a bad month in your business. And for young entrepreneurs, sometimes that happens. Or for young business owners.
You know, I think a lot of times people are a little bit timid of... having a little bit afraid of saying, you know, man, do I really want to pay for an attorney to look over something? Because, you know, their thought right away is, oh, this is going to run up. It's going to be several hours for them to review it and say, yeah, you're good to sign. When you do this, do you just review it and say, yeah, it's good? Or do you explain the different clauses? I mean, tell me how, if you had somebody out there that's just, say you got a business owner, he's getting ready to sign a 3-year lease. What information would you give him based on that lease?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, a typical lease is between 5 and 15 pages, you know, okay, unless right. it's a really complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long does it take the average individual to read 5 to 15 pages? You know, not very long. And when you've seen as many leases as I've seen, you know, it's pretty standard. Well, here's this clause. So
okay.
probably less than an hour of my time to review a document, not only to read it myself, but then to meet with that individual and say, okay, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, here's what I just absolutely wouldn't sign.
Okay.
So, and then from it's up to them what they want to do.
I mean, this is beyond just saying, hey, I'm looking over the lease for you, making sure it's okay. This is, hey, I'm advocating for you to say, just like any law situation where you're representing, like if I'm representing somebody in family law, I'm advocating for their position based on the laws. You're doing the same thing here, saying, look, based on the laws the way they are and the way this agreement is written out, this is a good point, this is a good point, this is dangerous, and this is just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're saying, right?
I mean, our motto is law simplified for you. So if I'm sitting across from a client, I will simplify it to the point of, well, this is what this means, that's fine. This is what that means, fine. But this right here, where it says they can come in and seize all your property,
you
probably shouldn't sign that. I don't care how good this building is, we'll find you another location.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing, I think, too, that there's the fear of, am I going to lose this property?
Yeah.
Am I going to lose, you know, well, you know, a lot of people might think, well, it's not negotiable, it's just a standard lease, so, well, if everybody else signs them, maybe I should just sign it too. That's dangerous thinking, isn't it?
It is, because I know enough commercial landlords to know that right now, a lot of them have vacant space.
Right.
So, you know, they're looking to lease things out. So, particularly in this environment, not necessarily in the heart of Valparaiso, but in the outlying areas,
Porter County,
I have a gentleman that has many commercial properties that 3 of them are sitting empty right now.
Oh wow! So you'd love to get somebody in there.
You know, a little bit of bargaining is that
closing up though? Because I have noticed, you know, I mean, a few years ago it was still pretty common where you'd drive around and you'd see like 3 or 4, like a strip mall or something like that, with like 3 or 4 empties.
Sure.
But now you're starting to see maybe one here, one there.
One here, one there, but still, I mean, unless
so
you have
still
a
vacancies.
Very, very specialized business,
mm-hmm.
there's almost always another spot. Now, a lot of it, honestly, I think depends on the lease and on the landlord. You know, you have to have a good relationship. First of all, you have to sign a document that's going to work not only today, but tomorrow.
Right.
And then you have to have a landlord that's reasonable enough to understand, you know, we're going to grow together here.
Right.
So that's kind of what I've always believed. You know, the landlord that I've always dealt with on the commercial side was very understanding in that as our business grows, we're going to help your business grow. And we're going to recommend people that we know to rent space from you. So those relationships are available to find. You just have to, don't sign the first lease that comes across.
Well, and
don't
sign it without
reading it.
Right, and I think the thing to tell people and to help them understand is that landlords, for commercial property in particular, a lot of people associate with apartment renting, and apartment renting. It's like you're kind of doing whatever the apartment complex wants. I mean, they've got, everybody wants to rent an apartment, so... but with commercial leases, they're a little bit more willing to negotiate.
They're usually local people.
They're usually local. Terms-wise, they're willing to sit down and say, hey, you know, this is the reason, you know, when they can have you explain to the landlords, look, this is the problem we have with this clause. Maybe it's just tweaking a few words.
Yeah.
maybe it's making adjustment, but it can mean a huge impact to your clients over time.
And, you know, I'm the kind of a person, I'm not very confrontational.
Right.
Pretty laid back. So the last thing you'd ever want to do is, you know, get in front of the landlord or his attorney and say, oh, this is just there. Right. You know, you always say, oh, this is a great lease. You know, we really love the space. We love this. You know, the price seems right, but we just have a problem with section 4A. You know, I don't really like the way that's worded. And sometimes you even end up with a better relationship with the landlord because they understand
stuff they don't realize.
That you're making intelligent business decisions. And they think that, well, if you're going to make an intelligent business decision with me, well, maybe you'll make more intelligent business decisions going forward, and maybe you can
grow. That's why your business will grow, and you'll be able to pay a bill.
Yeah.
So I had it's interesting. I had a guy that does real estate investment that I was talking to one time, and he made a comment about having, how it's the right word to say, almost anxiety about getting an attorney involved in the negotiation of the contract, because the standard attorneys will oftentimes
gum up the works.
They'll make things difficult that don't have to be, and they act like they feel like they're representing their client. I mean, part of your representation of the client is to help them get the property worked out.
You have to help them succeed,
right?
How do you get referrals in any business? You always help
somebody succeed. You know? Right.
So it's not my job to go in there unless it's just an unconscionable agreement that you should never sign and they're not willing to negotiate.
Well, then that would be...
Then you're saving them.
Then you'd be able to say, you're looking at a landlord that's just unreasonable.
But for the most part, that doesn't...
No.
Particularly not in this area.
Very cool.
So it's really... that's just one way, I think. It's probably the initial thing that most business owners come across.
Other than
corporate formation, some of the things that Isaac handles. Starting a corporation, you know, Isaac and I work together to, and Isaac has a great platform.
He's got
what he does.
He's got it all locked in for people.
I mean, very, very inexpensive. You come in, you get, you know, some really good agreements, some advice for the future.
Some of the bigger stuff is pricier, but, you know, it depends on what they need. But, just helping people get started and having good guidance. And then, you handle some of the, manuals and creation and some of the things that people don't, I will say that sometimes, especially entrepreneurs that are really excited about getting their business going, and I know Barbara Kane, I hear you out there, I see you, I know that they want to jump right to that marketing. Mm-hmm. That's one of Barbara's things. She's always talking about that. So I know they want to jump right to the marketing. But sometimes when they're getting going, they got employees, they need to have certain manuals in place
to
be able to make sure everybody's on the same page. And now, if they don't do it right away, and they do it 5 years down the road, it's going to be a difficult process.
I mean,
they're locked in a certain way.
And the thing is, you're kind of walking a tightrope, because you don't need anything until you need it, right?
Well, that's the way everything is.
So, you can get away for a while with just having, one individual that does payroll and handles HR. But what happens if you've developed a system, and part of your secret sauce is the way you do it?
Right.
Well, what if some employee comes on board for whatever reason, leaves and takes your secret sauce with them, and you haven't put anything in place to protect that? Or what happens if...
So you're talking like trade secret protection and some of that type of stuff. You gotta think about that. Non-competes and such.
Non-competes, confidentiality agreements, And what happens if you're an HVAC guy? And, OSHA mandates certain things that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have safety meetings, after a certain size of company. So what happens if there's God forbid, an incident where somebody gets hurt and OSHA comes in and says, well, show me the minutes from your safety meeting. Show me your safety manual. Show me your standard operating procedures. These are all things that once you get past a certain dollar amount or employee size, you should really be thinking about these things. And my experience with entrepreneurs is you're exactly right.
Yeah.
They get going and they get going and they get going and they're so happy with the way things are going, and then they have clients, sales, and then nobody's really worried about on the back end. Well, what happens if one of our guys goes out to lunch and then crashes a van through somebody's house, or workman's comp issues, all of these things that you really should have a team of people. You know, you should have a good attorney, you should have really good employees, you should have a good insurance agent. It really takes a team of people to make a business successful.
You heard it here first. If you're starting a business or you're in a business and you haven't taken a look at some of these things, give Daniel a call here at 219-230-3600.
For sure.
He'd be more than happy to sit down with you. Take a look, see what you need, see what he can help with. So, just wanted to bring you on today and introduce you and get the word out a little bit. You'll be seeing him on more of these as we get going and as he gets out more. Switch over, I'll talk about me for a minute. This guy. As you all know, everybody's been on this channel, and some of the people that I know and have talked with already know that we handle bankruptcy. It's one of the main areas of focus here that we have. We're continuing that. We really want to help in any way we can. We've got some new stuff coming your way in regard to bankruptcy. One of the things that we do, and this is just, I find this just fascinating, that's why I handle bankruptcy, is it's not just about filing bankruptcy. We've got some new stuff coming out with how we're going to approach things and help people that aren't really sure whether they want to file bankruptcy or not. You know, maybe they're on the edge, maybe they're getting some creditor calls and their debts are too high, they're not really sure how their budget doesn't seem to be working. Sometimes just getting a second set of eyes on that and someone to go through and analyze everything can really put it in terms to understand and give you a process to work out of the debt you have without having to file bankruptcy. So we're going to be putting some stuff in place over the next few weeks, and I will be back to talk about that more. That will give you options so you can come in and you can see what all the options are for you, whether it's doing some stuff on your own or maintaining a budget or having us assist you with that, or doing a Chapter 7 or doing a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Depending on what the options are, at least this way you'll be able to see what is that list of options, what are the things that I can do from this position, where my financial situation is right now, what can I do, how do I do it. Then you'll be able to make a good educated choice as to the best way to proceed for you. And then of course we can help you with the bankruptcies, we can help you with a few other options that are available. And we'll get more into that. I want to get we're getting some stuff put together for that we're going to put out there for everybody to see. And we're really excited about that. In addition to bankruptcy, the other area that we're working on and we're really trying to focus on more is family law. And so I've done some family law in the past and I've continued to go, and it's something I want to grow within the firm here. I want to make it a bigger part of our firm. So anybody watching, anybody that sees this, everybody knows somebody that's in a family law situation, whether it's you know somebody that needs an adoption or they want a guardianship or someone that needs to get a divorce, unfortunately, or has gotten a divorce and still has issues going on. Maybe they've got a spouse that's not cooperating with visitation. Maybe they need a modification for child support or something of that nature. There's lots of things that pop up. There's lots of questions. And it's one of those unfortunate realities that, especially when there's kids involved, it just never quite ends. It just goes and goes and goes until the kids are emancipated. So anyway, we're here for you in that. We'd love to help you out. We'd love to talk with you again. We have our initial meetings, no charge. You come in, we'll sit down, we'll talk about your situation. We can explain to you how the fees work and what we can do to help out there. And yeah, so that's kind of about it, man. I feel like we need to have, we're so used to doing these at bars that I really... I'm regretting that we didn't go to bar, because I wouldn't mind having a drink and you get a cigar. I know you want a cigar right now.
I can always use a drink and a cigar. After hours, of course. But this was an early one.
This was an early one. We're trying a little something. We want to see what kind of engagement we get doing these a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Normally, everybody knows we're on at 6:30. Today, we did it at 4 to 4:30 here. And we're just trying to get a feel for it, just see if we can. I know I like to occasionally look at people doing Facebook Lives and stuff like that, kind of near the end of the day. You know, you're sitting around
shuffling stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And they're waiting for that buzzer. You're like, take a peek and see what's going on here. So hopefully we've been able to get some people's attention. And
yeah, and so, I mean, if each one of these we do, we help one person.
That's awesome. The other thing, too, I mean, we've always wanted to show people that we're human. Yeah. We're easy to get along with. We're easy to talk to. A lot of people find that we're different just on that basis alone, yeah, compared to other law firms. So.
And I think part of that goes back to going to Valpo, with some of our instructors that really would cut legalese completely out of.
They tried to.
If you had Cuddy or not, but.
I did, yeah, he was real good.
You take legal writing with Cuddy, there's no legalese allowed. So
yeah,
there's no reason, certain things I understand, but when you're sitting across from an average, normal person, I'm an average normal person too, so I don't need to try to confuse.
No, and that's the thing. That's where we make it again. It's the whole law simplified for you. We try to keep it straightforward. We try to, you know, keep everything real and down to earth. And, you know, a lot of our, some of the biggest comments we get from our clients is that, hey, you don't really seem like a lawyer, but I like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not the normal type of lawyer as far as making everything. So I'm the lawyer. You just sit there and shut up and say, not that all lawyers do that. There's some good lawyers.
There really are.
But I think that we just do it a little differently.
Yeah. We managed to accumulate some really unique attorneys that are able to, maybe because we've all had such diverse backgrounds, we're able to really communicate with people on a level that is just even.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to try to impress anybody with my brilliance, right. You know, because you know, I'm not necessarily any more brilliant than anyone else. But
before we wrap up here, I got a joke. My wife, this is for my wife, because I know she loves this joke and she thinks it's funny as all crazy. How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it. I hope you can hear that out there. Hey, it's a stupid joke, but it's better than the other one. My wife's other favorite joke is knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
moo. All right.
Great joke.
So, sorry. I've got a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'm full dad mode, used to telling stupid jokes, so it happens. So anyway, thank y'all for joining us. It's about 4:30. Have a great week. If you guys have any questions, give us a call at 219-230-3600. Remember, bankruptcy, family law, business, and real estate. If you have any questions or there's anything we can help you out with, give us a call. Anything else?
That is all.
Peace out. I got to walk around and go hit that button. Look pretty on camera, Daniel.